Welcome to Copper Country Today. We are heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3, brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer and healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenAwReport.com. In the second part of this morning's program, Sam Ali will be talking about the Houghton County Fair coming up with Bonnie DeCare-Jones. I have a couple of guests in the first segment. In a few minutes, I'll be talking with Susie Landers, who handles business development for the city of Houghton. But first, a conversation I had several days ago with Governor Rick Snyder. The governor had limited time, but I wanted you to hear what he had to say. Let me start by asking you about some of the economic development that's taken place in the state, and we've seen some progress in a number of areas. Some of our region, Baraga County, Ontonagon County, still really struggling at this point. What do we have to do to get some of those counties that are behind the curve up to the curve?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and that's one of the things we really need to focus in on, because a lot of great things are going on in the state, but it hasn't gotten to all corners of Michigan. So we really need to focus in on what are the best opportunities to create jobs in terms of what industries are already there, what could be grown, and what can be attracted to the area. One area we're finding that is an area of need for almost every company are the skilled trades. So one of the focus points that I'm working at across the state is to say, to the degree we can build good skilled trades programs, that will actually attract companies to set up there. And I know you have a good community college in the area and good relationships with some of the universities in the UP. So that's something we should be looking at, particularly career tech education in all different fields, not just in welder, plumber, electrician, but manufacturing is a big area where there's an opportunity to find skilled machine operators, tool and die people, that companies will actually try to seek out those people and build their businesses there if we can get enough of those people focused in those careers.
I know that I've done some work with the Baraga County folks. I live in Baraga County, and it's been a challenge for counties like Baraga County because you want to put together some type of a group that's going to promote economic development, but they don't have the base to try to bring in a full-time person to head it up, and that leaves them at a bit of a disadvantage in terms of competing against other areas. Are there things that the state can do to help jumpstart that kind of economic opportunity and the effort to get new jobs into these areas?
That's an excellent question. That's actually something we've been working on. That one of the things is to address that specific question, because I've had the same concern that some communities, it's hard to find enough resources with enough experience. So one thing we need to look at is how we can work through the prosperity regions we created, the regional situation, which would be the entire UP in this case, and say, can we partner with the region to say, can we send some additional resources to really partner with the local community, the local county, and say, here are some folk that have experience and broad and deep experience to bring that expertise to bear, and also the network of relationships. Because it's important if you have a network, you can hopefully expedite the process of actually getting companies to either grow or set up in those communities.
We do have a problem in this area in some regards to transportation. Rail service has been pretty much cut out of this area. We don't have a lot of the big types of highways like they have in Detroit that flood when it rains really hard. But are there things that we can do as a state to help make it a little easier for these companies to get their goods in and out?
Well, that's one of the issues about looking at would be the best type of companies to have set up in the area. Again, it may not be something that requires heavy logistics. One of the things we're really trying to emphasize, are there more knowledge-based industries that people can set up or service providers that can be helpful? So I'll give you an illustration of a company in Houghton I happen to meet. Again, they had the advantage of having some technology out of Michigan Tech to sort of base things on, but it was thermal analytics. So they're essentially doing services all around the globe by doing some software analysis and simulation, looking for heat sources in, say, the automotive industry. So that's the kind of thing that doesn't require heavy logistics. Another area that would work well in terms of almost any area would be call centers in terms of either technical support or customer service work. And quite often people are looking for locations that can have anywhere from 50 to 200 people in a call center environment. And that's a good format to actually find some good employment for people and it can be done in any location as long as you have good telecom relationships. And in a center like that, that's something that would be quite doable.
All right. I want to take you back a little more than a year. There was a request that came up to you in regards to the Keweenaw Bay Indian Community Casino moving from its location in Harvey to the old airport in Negaunee, staying basically in the Marquette area. You basically scotched that. Why?
Well, again, one of the issues that we're trying to work on is with all the Native American and all the Indian tribes to say, how can we come up with a revised compact system? So one of the things I want to be thoughtful about is not individually taking each tribe on its own, but saying we've got a bigger issue we need to address with casino gambling in general in the state of Michigan. And I want to do that on a dialogue with all the tribes as opposed to separately coming up with arrangements with different ones.
But this was not the establishment of a new casino. This was simply the movement of an existing casino. There were some conditions that you laid down, or at least your staff laid down in a letter to the KBIC in regards to not building a gas station in the Marquette area and finding a way to stop the smoking disagreement that was going on with the American Legion post in Berrigo, which was 60 miles away. Are those issues really germane?
Well, again, they're factors that need to be considered. Because, again, I don't take lightly the whole issue of moving casinos around. I think that has an important impact on a community, both in terms of it can have positive economic impact, but it can also have negative economic impact. And there needs to be a real balance and understanding about what's the right relationship to have with an organization in that business.
The response almost seemed, as I read it back in June of 2013, it almost seemed designed to stop negotiations. Was it your intent basically to just cut things off there, or was there a real openness on your part to try to work things through?
Oh, I always want to be open to working things through. Stopping things usually isn't a good formula in most any area. So you always want to be willing to talk, but you want to be clear that what the issues are and what may need to be addressed to get to a satisfactory conclusion.
Let's hit one other thing, if I can, before we run out of time here, and that is some school issues that we're experiencing up here. Unlike some of the school districts downstate, we have a number of school districts that are losing students because populations are dropping in some of our areas, and that has put some real financial stresses on some of these districts. Is there something that you can do through Lansing to help ease that stress on districts that are shrinking?
Well, that's a challenge. It's not just in your area. There are a number of places around the state, again, as people relocate and such. And that's one of the challenge points. One of the things we're trying to do is we've invested a lot in state education in the last few years, literally over $1 billion the last 3 years. This year's budget's $1 billion higher than the year before I took office. And so we're investing a lot, really focused on student growth. It is a challenge point that districts that lose population need to be very thoughtful. And again, there are limits on what we can do there. In some cases, they may need to be looking at questions, should they be consolidating? Should they look at, you know, surrounding districts and how they can better work together?
Yeah, our challenge is that some of these districts up here are so large that even if they fall to a level where they might consider consolidating, these kids would be riding the bus 90 minutes, 120 minutes back and forth to school.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because the geography is important, so that's one of the things that have to be clearly taken into account. But it's not just the moving students, it's not necessarily closing the school, but it's the administrative cost and the overhead of running the district. And so the distance doesn't make as much difference in some of those topics, although it does need to be considered. So the question is can you have one superintendent instead of two? Can you have other services being shared? Again, many of those things may already be happening. I don't know the specifics in your area, but those are questions that need to be part of that process because, again, we want to be helpful. But, again, we need to respect the fact that they're local schools, and local schools need to work through a number of issues.
So the last year, a year ago, when you came up to the UP State Fair, the Detroit News wrote an article saying you were wasting your time up here. Have you felt that your time has been wasted this year visiting us?
No, I've never felt that way. Again, that's someone else's opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's great, and it's an important part of the state, and I work for all the citizens of Michigan. So I think each and every year I've been here, in particular in August, I made the UP State Fair 4 years in a row, in addition to other trips up here. So it's a great group of people. In many respects, the economy is getting much stronger for many parts of the UP, but I appreciate your comment that we need to work hard on how we can get that to all corners of the UP and all of Michigan.
And I do appreciate your time, Governor. I know it's limited. Thank you so much for visiting us in the UP. You're always welcome here, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Thanks. It was great to be with you. Take care.
And thanks once again to Governor Rick Snyder for the time that he was able to provide to be on the program. And now let's turn our attention to something a little bit more local. Susie Landers is here. Susie heads up has headed up the downtown business development for the city of Houghton. And now that role is being expanded. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk with her about what exactly that role is and what she's been doing for the city. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, and thank you.
How did you first get hooked up into this business development role with the city?
Well, actually, it started quite a few years ago in an unofficial capacity. In 2004, I opened a business in downtown Houghton. And soon I realized that you just don't come to downtown Houghton and open a business. You have now become a part of a community, which was very exciting for me because I realized you needed the community, needed the support of the businesses downtown, of the city, to actually thrive. So once I realized that, I just started getting more and more involved with the other businesses and, you know, addressing issues, you know, because we all have similar issues when you're in a small business.
Sure.
In downtown. So that's kind of how it just started to roll. And then soon we ended up jumping into the streetscape project, which kind of like, you know, threw us all into a tizzy, but then brought us back to saying, wait a minute, let's take this, which we all thought was going to be a negative thing, and turned it into such a positive thing. And putting in that new infrastructure that we needed in downtown kind of put us on a path of bigger and better things. And that just kind of kept rolling and rolling. And the need to have somebody on the street, basically, and being embedded, shall we say, with the businesses as being a liaison up to the city. Because most people know, if you've been in business at all, when you have a business, your days are not 9 to 5. They're not Monday through Friday. But you needed somebody to go to, you know, that was there that could maybe, you know, help address an issue. So I started just in that position unofficially trying to be that person. And then we formed the Downtown Business Association, where it gave our businesses an opportunity to get together and discuss things that we were all going through and our needs, our concerns. And we were so lucky. We are so lucky to be in a city who listens. So, you know, they were there. You know, the city has been wonderful. So that's kind of how it started to roll. And then years passed, and last year the city actually addressed the whole situation and said, you know what, we need a key person, an appointed person, you know, that could possibly be, so that businesses have someone to go to if they, you know, feel that they'd rather talk to someone that's maybe not an official city capacity, you know, city employee, or new businesses coming in. So that is how this position started last year officially.
Now, it worked with the downtown for basically a year or so. And then just this past week, the city expanded things
a
little
bit.
They
did. You know, we've been getting a lot of calls and concerns from, you know, the West Houghton, the M26 corridor, because just because they're not in the downtown, they're still our business community. You know, everywhere is. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, in the big picture, there are no boundaries in this. You know, we are a huge community here. It's not just Houghton. It's not just Hancock. We all have to work together. And it was definitely seen that the services, they're available. They're available to you no matter what. But we have just seen that sometimes it helps to have somebody that you can call or that I can go up and visit with and say, all right, what are your problems? What are your concerns? Sometimes I can just point you in the right direction.
Sure.
You know, I can do that fact-finding possibly for you, and so that you don't have to. And, you know, something like that.
Sure. So as this changes now, there has been in cities up to this point, and I think probably has been some of this here in Houghton as well, this little tension that has developed between the new business community that's usually out on the well-traveled highway,
right,
which we have out on Memorial Drive there, and the old established business section downtown. So up until this point, you've been an advocate for one side of this.
However,
little discussion. Now you become an advocate for both sides. How do you balance?
Right. I feel we can, because granted, I have been on the streets of downtown Houghton. However, but I have been a big proponent of just communities in general. And I've always said that, you know, I feel that the downtowns are a bit of the heartbeat of our communities. And then that helps flow out to the outlying communities. We are so lucky. We have two downtowns right here, Houghton and Hancock. I feel they both are key parts into us succeeding into a healthy, vibrant community. And so I don't think there's going to be that. I don't feel that tension I will hope that we won't have that tension. If there is, it'll definitely be my job. That'll be my full focus, is to make sure we start realizing that we are one. And that's the only way. Collaboration is the only way we are going to succeed. And I've seen over the last few years also that I think people are starting to realize, wait a minute, you know, we have got to focus on our own community, our own neighbors, because with that, we will thrive.
One of the sources of that conflict over the years has been that the downtown businesses tend to be locally owned.
Yes.
The business corridor businesses tend to be owned from outside. They're
bigger,
the big natural,
right,
national chains that come in. You've got the Walmart out there. You've got the Advance Auto Parts is mm-hmm. in now, and you've got talk of a Walgreens coming into the area now. Those businesses are perceived by many local business owners as being there to steal their business.
Right, right. And that's not, you know, we have to get past that, because those businesses are just as important. I mean, they're providing jobs, they're providing support. That is the whole key here. When we start realizing, wait a minute, this is not a competition. We are all playing on the same team. And we will get along better, and we will thrive. Like I said, we will thrive, we will grow with that. So, I mean, they're important to us. That M26 corridor and even the outlying communities, they're very important to us, because we wouldn't be able to have a vibrant downtown if they weren't there to bring, you know, business, bring people to us.
With your duties now expanding out into that area, does it fall upon you to start doing a little more recruiting of those kinds of businesses, perhaps, for this area?
To a point, yes, we will. I mean, and, you know, there's certain things that I know everyone, last night when I ran into a couple people, they were like, giving me a list of all these stores that we needed. And I said, that would be great if I could do that. And I mean, I will be looking at those, and I will be helping. If there's even a glimmer of hope to bring in something, I will definitely be there helping. However, it's not just about bringing in a lot of retail stores. Listen, if we don't have some solid businesses that are going to provide quality, good, solid jobs, I mean, you can bring in, you know, as many retail stores and stores that you want, but we've got to also have some good jobs for people. So,
well,
job creation is key.
And what I have said for years is retail, you know, building retail stores does not create retail business.
Right.
Building good jobs creates retail business. If you build good jobs and people are making money and families are thriving, the retail business will build itself.
Exactly. And people will want to stay here, which makes us a stronger community. And, you know, now with technology, all those hurdles that we had years ago why we couldn't have bigger businesses here or better jobs, they're gone.
Sure.
We're
as connected with the world as anybody at this point. And, yeah, I'm familiar with, you know, this area 50, 60, well, maybe not 60 quite yet, but 50 years ago, and how isolated this was.
Right.
And that isolation is really falling away now. We see more people moving into this area from outside the area than we've ever seen before.
Right. Businesses are looking at us now as a place to invest, as a place to get a foothold, because they feel they can. They can now. Where, like you said, wasn't that many years ago, it was not an option.
Is your focus exclusively retail,
or
does it?
It won't be. It's not. It's in just the whole business community, or our community. And I don't even like to say the business community, because it's. I feel we're all one.
So what kind of things now are you offering here?
We do this a lot. But there's resources sometimes that a lot of businesses don't realize that are there. So that's going to be my job, to make sure that if you have a problem, let me try to find that resource for you, or let me, you know, try to find an avenue that will help you with this. So that's pretty much, I'm going to be the person that puts people together, because we've already seen that's been an important factor. I like to bring all the people, players, anybody that's of interest to the table, maybe not at the same time, because that might not always be a good deal.
Blow up.
But it's always good for me to know, like, if I'm speaking with you, I know what your thoughts are. And maybe the gentleman down the street, I know what his thoughts are. And maybe you've never thought of combining and, you know what I mean, coming together and working under some, you know, umbrella capacity. But I've already done that a couple times, where I've helped people bring their vision, you know, to life, because I've been able to bring in another component that they may not have thought of.
And there are people who would like to start businesses.
Yes.
Who really don't know how to go about doing
right.
it. You need money. You need a business plan. And in many cases, you need a lot more money than
it
most
is,
people think.
You know, the good old days where you just had to have a lot of good work ethic and you know what I mean? Some
yeah.
focus. You could do it. Unfortunately, those days are past. That helps. I mean, you won't succeed in a small business or any business if you don't have that work ethic. But right, there are some resources that I can help with that, or just laying out a business plan. I'm not saying I'm going to write your business plan, but I have people that can help you with your business plan. I can look at business plans a little bit and help in some degree, or just brainstorming.
Well,
you know, a lot of times people come up with these ideas. One day a lady came to me and she said she wanted to open a business. And I said, well, and she didn't know what. And I said, well, this weekend, any idea that pops in your head, just write it down. Well, I'll tell you, she had a legal sheet of paper and she came. But you know, we nailed on it. You know, we worked
She's
on it.
She's now
worked
opened
on it.
19 businesses.
No, actually, you know what? To tell you the truth, she didn't open a business, because when we went through each step and then when I actually basically told her what each thing is going to entail, she realized that that just wasn't.
Well, then that's critical.
It is.
Because owning one's own business is kind of a romantic notion.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is far different than the romantic vision that a lot of people have going in. And if you're thinking about owning a business, it's really, really important to do this gut check and
right.
say, now, listen, this is what's going to be responsible. If you like baking cookies, you don't get to bake cookies.
Right.
You get to supervise the people that you hire to bake the cookies, and you get to fill out the profit and loss statement and the tax returns and pay the
bills. And you may be the last one that gets paid. And right.
Yeah.
It is. It's a whole thing, and you've got to bring that. You've got to put the focus on that. Because the last thing, I don't want to be down. I don't want to be in the city opening up businesses right and left just because I've been able to position everybody. Okay, you can get this funding. You can do this and this. And then they're gone in a year. That's definitely not our goal. That doesn't make us healthy. So it is my goal sometimes. It is my job to say, God, I love your idea. But,
yeah,
you know, just sometimes I can get a, you know, this,
yeah, you know,
just laying it out in black and white.
Let's be realistic.
Let's put the
here.
Numbers on a piece of paper,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
And
this is how much money you're really going to need.
Right. And sometimes even when you put it on paper, and it doesn't always have to look great. You know, it's not going to always look wonderful. You know, even if it's just getting close, as long as you have it in you, I feel you can do it. You know what I mean? We can make it work.
And there's been so much activity in downtown Houghton over the last couple, 3 years. A number of events have developed. The concert series has developed, and that's been a big hit through the summers. Has that all benefited the downtown Houghton businesses?
Yes, it has brought more awareness. Because right now, it's like not even – people are coming downtown because there's some new businesses. They're hearing about them. But, hey, we're also like not only – and we've talked about this, Todd – come down and welcome, see what the new businesses are, but get reacquainted of what the old businesses are. We soon forget. And that's another one of my goals is, you know, the outlying communities, we need to know what they have as well as they need to know what Houghton is offering. Because sometimes we right away think we don't have it or we can't get it.
And there is an enemy. And that enemy is on the internet.
It is.
And mail order and things of that nature, because there are so many people who think you can't get things here in the Copper Country that you in fact
can get in the
Copper Country.
You can and
or you're
going to
get it or you're going to get it at a fantastically cheap price online.
Right, and that's
yeah.
that always
no.
is not true, because you factor in the shipping, and even when there's no shipping, sometimes it still doesn't work out that way. And if you only could do some research, I should have brought actually the numbers with me, but what a dollar spent locally, what that actually turns into.
Sure.
It's mind-boggling what it can do. But you know, I try to tell people that even when I owned my own business downtown, I said, "You know what? Amazon.com is not here for you when you're having a fundraiser. Amazon.com isn't here for you when, you know, you need that support. When your children are out selling your..." I always use the yearbook ads
yeah.
in the back of the yearbook. I used to tell the kids when they'd come in and say, "I'm going to buy an ad, but you have to listen to me for a second first." And I said, "You know what?" I said,
"It's
going to cost you. It is going to cost you about a minute here for me to explain to you the importance. Because as you're getting older now, you're getting into adulthood, you know that you need to know the importance of this. That you were able to walk into my store and I was able to buy this ad from you that's going to be stuck in the back of your yearbook and you're never going to look at until maybe your 25th reunion. You're going to say, where was that store? I don't remember that store." You know what I mean? But you need to know that this is your community. And if you don't support it, we're not going to be here.
And even if it is a few cents more, there is a wonderful value for me in having certain types of stores
yes.
in the community, because there are times when I need to walk in and walk out with something.
Exactly.
And if I've put that store out of business because I've bought stuff online, all of a sudden I'm looking at not being able to walk
right.
in and walk out with
and
something.
And you just follow that dollar, follow that trail that a dollar takes, and see how many businesses and lives it actually touches.
So if you want to get a hold of Susie, what's the number, Susie?
906-370-3110.
Yeah, if you're interested in building a business, changing a business, moving a business, starting a business,
right,
ending
right.
a business.
Exactly.
Well, call Susie, and thank you, Susie, for stopping by this morning.
Thank you, Todd.
Susie Landers from the City of Houghton here on today's edition of Copper Country Today. Now, coming up in the next segment, Sam Ali is going to be talking with Bonnie DeCare-Jones. We will be previewing the Houghton County Fair, which is coming up. Stay tuned for Copper Country Today.